You're listening to Samuel Emerson, pastor at Cloverdale Church.
So I'd like you to stand to your feet and please welcome a couple that's been married for 44 years. Okay, so here, why don't you guys just tell us a little bit about yourself for those of you that don't know. For those of us that don't know you guys very well, just like your life, when you got married and how many kids you have, that kind of stuff. Just a little short snippet.
Okay. We got married in 1969, so actually we will be married 44 years this April, like in a couple months. We have two children, Brad, who is 39, and he has two children, so we have two grandchildren with him and his wife, and a daughter, Lori, and she has four children, so we have six grandchildren.
So good. So good. And where did you guys meet?
It was 1968. Spence's Bridge, I don't know if you guys know where that is. It's up the Fraser Canyon, halfway between here and to Cache Creek, up that way. And I was raised in a 100-mile house. And I left, a friend of mine said to come down to work in a garage. So I did. I came down there, and Sharon was on her way to somewhere, college, going somewhere. And We bumped into each other in the summer of July, 1968, and we had a summer romance, and we got married in April, 10 months later.
Woo! So fun. So we got a lot of questions, and we had some questions come from different people in this room, and we also wanted to make that available. That's on our website at ycclovardale.com. You want any questions answered from different people interviewed, we're going to try to place them in the right people that we've got interviewed. We've got a whole bunch of different people lined up to be brought for you to hear their testimonies and their stories throughout this relationship series. So you're not hearing it from one person, but you're hearing it from a source, and we're going to end with the relationship gala that's going to be the weekend after the Sunday night after Valentine's Day, and so we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to do some dancing and all kinds of things, and we're going to bring up a lot of the young couples in our church and just give you an opportunity to ask them questions as well, and we'll reserve some questions that you're going to be asking and emailing in for that purpose, if that makes any sense whatsoever, at ycclovardale.com, so you can do that, okay? So why don't we just get our first question up, and we'll kind of just jump right in, because this will be fun. So I'll read it to you. You don't have to worry, because it'll be probably hard for you. So what sacrifices do you have to make when you're married? Just kind of open it up with something huge. It was an honest question that people had.
It's not about me.
Oh. Everybody hear that? It's not. What do you mean by it's not about me?
Well, even though I would like it to be, my stuff's a big deal, right? When you're in a marriage relationship, and by the way, when we were younger, they always said, well, marriage is 50-50. Well, marriage isn't 50-50. It's 100-100, right?
Woo!
It's 100. You both have to go the whole way, not part way, all the way. Yeah. So I guess I would say it's a sacrifice because I want to be about me sometimes, right? But I have to reconsider that.
So fun. It's a very good answer.
I think when you get married, you understand the spiritual commitment to honor and prefer one another. That's so important, to honor and prefer one another. Esteem them more than yourself. It's good to have your space. It's good to have your what you need. But it's also paramount that you make sure that your mate is looked after with your time. You check with her. That's one thing we always have done since we were married earlier. We wanted to see what was going on in her life, in my life. Even though we were married, she had other outside interests. I had outside interests, and we just make sure that they came together, and there was enough sufficient time spent with each other early on.
So
really important.
So how important is friendship in your marriage?
I would say that's huge for us because we not only love each other, but we really like each other because they're both different, right? Like you can hear always talk about love in a marriage, but you have to like each other too because that helps make that all the connections where love doesn't always work sometimes. So we're best friends. We've always been best friends. We have the most fun just being together. We literally spend hours together. We do. We just like to be together.
So even talking. after 44 years together,
yeah.
This you're in your 44th year. You still love, like, what kind of like fun activities or things do you like to do together?
We like to drive. we go away, and the last drive that Sharon and I went on was 15 hours, and we just drive for 15 hours, and
talk.
And yeah. She sits over there, and she crosses her legs, sits up on the side of the truck. Like that.
That's how my wife sits.
Yeah, just like that. And we just talk. We went all the way down the States and back up to Osoyoos and back, and we do that quite a bit. We like to drive. That's what we do. We get away, and that's just away from all distractions.
Well, we process. Yeah. You know, so I guess we could do it at home because we don't have any kids at home, you know. No. But it just seems to be more fun. We're confined in that space, and nobody can get up and run away, right? We're stuck. Like, I'm not going to get out when we're way down in Wenatchee somewhere. So. It's helped us work through things, too. Like, we make it up. We don't do anything unless we both agree.
Yeah. So in a generation that has so many just different opinions and bad experiences with that, that's a really fresh perspective that you guys are friends. After all this time, like that's just incredible. I love it.
Well, and I was housebroke within 2 weeks after we were married. Sharon taught me, you know, you go to work, you come back.
It took longer than that.
Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't a relatively short period of time, and I knew, you know, the ground rules, right?
I love it. Yeah. So we do the next question. We'll get it up here. So what does marriage give you that you don't already have as a single person? So we have a lot of single people, and singleness is becoming just something where, like, people are waiting longer and longer to get married, because culturally everyone's freaked out to, like, make a decision, and, oh, what if somebody else is better around, or all these kind of things will go through people's heads. But singleness is something that we're trying to, as a church, do really well, and I know you guys are a part of that, but we want to honor singles. But why don't you explain a little bit just about what does marriage give you that you don't already have? As a single person, if you could think towards that way.
Everything, really.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's just, it's nice to have somebody there all the time. I come home. That's why I come home. Sharon's there, and we have supper, and we have our little rituals. We get into our little rituals, and we do the thing, watch the news hour, and all the things that we do.
Boring, right?
well, I know, but... That's what we do.
No, we care. We care. You keep just yeah. you rocking. Yeah.
Companionship, but, I guess. That would be huge. I think maybe this would fit. When I grew up in a home where I really wanted the attention of my father, as all little girls do, and I didn't get it, So then I'm looking to friends, I'm looking to boys for attention, because women need male attention. Well, a woman likes to be told, a young girl likes to be told or thought of that she's pretty or attractive or you're smart or whatever. And when you don't get that, you're searching for it. So when I met Daryl, we fell in love right away, but I also realized, too, that he filled that void that I was lacking, because just his acceptance of me, exactly who I was, he liked me just the way I was. I didn't have to be somebody different, try and fit and do anything to make him like me. He just did. And, I think so that's part of it, too, is that there's a fulfillment comes in a relationship that
it's wonderful.
That maybe you don't get being single.
And I like what I like the most about relationship, a good relationship, is the strength.
Yeah.
That I get, and having somebody that when I mess up, it's okay. And she supports me, right? Yeah, we blew that one, but oh man, and you go to her, and then we just start working our way out of it. But I already know that, in the winter of 1978, sorry guys, sorry, I was a log hauler, and I went to work on the Alaska Highway. Mile 300 of the Alaska Highway, hauling logs. And I went to the camp. It was the first time I ever did that. I went to a camp for the winter. And I remember all the guys were freaking out about, what was going on back at home. And a lot of with their wives and stuff like that. They were concerned. But I never worried about that for 1 minute. We had 2 children at that time, and Sharon was looking after things back at home. I trusted her 100%. She trusted me. We went out and did what we had to do. got back, I got back, and it's just through things like that. We've lived, it's that trust and that bond that is, that's fulfilled, that just, it just, it's Christ-centered. It can't, it can't, it brings strength to me. I do what I do for her.
So good.
In the worldly situation, I mean, I go to work, I'm responsible, I go to work, I do what I can. Because it's not, because as guys, all of us guys know, we go live in a, it doesn't matter to us guys. One pair of clothes and whatever have you, and we just don't need anything. It's, but we go to work, and we work because our wives have the home, they're nesters, they make the stuff, and they do all that stuff, and it brings great pleasure to you and joy to you and fulfillment to be able to go do that and come home.
That's very good.
And that's really important. I, you know, that's that, and that's because she's what makes me who I am. My wife makes me who I am in all in these in the responsible areas,
yeah,
in the work situation and stuff like that. Because as I said, if I was on my own, well, I wouldn't have to do that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
So do you hear this, like, as the reflection of God's love for his church, right? Because everything they're saying about being fulfilled and experiencing love, it's a glorious picture of a relationship that you have with Jesus. And as a single person, just to help this as well, because of what they're saying, is that you can be a totally fulfilled and satisfied person that's single for your whole life. Some of the most amazing people in the Bible were single. Jesus was single. Okay, contrary to any popular books that came out, Jesus was straight up single. There's a guy in the Bible named Jeremiah, he was single. And there's a guy named Paul the Apostle, he was single. These guys did amazing things in their life as single people. So at no point does the church say marriage is the only way, but marriage is a straight up picture. And all of the words that you've just heard and all of the words that you're going to hear from this couple right here is going to be a, you'll be able to see right now how you can begin to put certain things into practice now, because it's a picture of the church. So in the same way that Sharon spoke and said that Daryl fulfilled her and filled that void, that's what we're praying for all the young ladies in this church to experience from Jesus first, because that's the picture, that's the love. And then to receive that from a husband, your life and the glory of what God has for you just begins to accelerate in amazing ways. And so I need you to hear that, because this is a beautiful picture of a marriage. This is where we all want to be. This is where, if you have a desire to be married, we want to be sitting on this couch talking to a whole bunch of young people 44 years from now. It'd be like, that would be just unbelievable. Right? Because this is beautiful, and we want to honor this because of that picture. So this is lovely. Why don't we get another question up? Can we do that? And thank you very much for being here. So many people say that if you stay with one person all your life, you will get bored.
Oh,
want to comment on
silly.
It? Oh, silly. Do you see that face? Let's just do that again. Oh,
that's
silly.
No.
I think our life is very challenging. I mean, just life is challenging, right? We don't have time to be bored. But we are very adventuresome people. Like when I was young, I always said I wanted to marry somebody that was really adventurous and exciting. And we have done some really, really adventuresome, crazy things. So that part of our life is not boring. But do you know what? Like 44 years is a long time to be married to the same person. So, yeah, you know what? We do have to work at making sure that we don't just fall into old habitual habits, because it's easy to do. I'm a type of person that I can fall into a rut real quick. I like being secure just doing the same stuff. And we, over time, have had to learn to just spice things up along the way. But when you really, truly like each other and you love each other and you have things you do in common together, it isn't boring. Like, just like it's not boring going to the mall with your friend or whatever you do, you know? Like, you make the most of where you're at.
And I think it's really, depends on what your definition of boring means. Boring, what's that mean? I mean, really, I mean, I'm not too sure, but Sharon is not a boring person.
Come on.
You trust me on that one, guys. Far from boring. And, you know, she's just an amazing person, and with many skills and talents and ideas and concepts. And, no, it's not boring at all. It just, I hear that sometimes. And
doesn't tune me out either, do you? Like, he doesn't pretend.
No.
He doesn't have selective hearing too often. I don't know.
Well, I... hey, is that... I'm motivated by fear most of the time, but, you know, yeah.
We'll cut that out of the tape.
Yeah, cut that out. Whatever you do.
That's awesome.
No, I don't, because it's all part of the honoring and preferring each other. You know, when we talk, we have something we need to talk about, where, like you do with your best friend. You know, you go there with the idea of talking about something, talking it through, and coming to an end, something that you need to know, because you've got something that's not working or something that's off or anything, so you talk it through, and then you get to the end, and at the end of it, then you've arrived at something. So that's what motivates me to listen. Now, the male thing is to procrastinate a little bit. A little, yeah, well, a lot. And, you know, I always tell her, well, so in the light of eternity, what's that got to do with it? Who cares? I mean, whatever, you know, we'll get it on. Husband, it's got, you know, we got to do this, that, and the other thing. And the thing that really bugs you guys, you know, is that they're like 99.9% of the time, they're positively right. They're right. Every time. But I just get you every time, right? You should just do it. Just do it.
That's what I've been saying for a long time.
And I've learned. And I've learned. You know, it's so funny. But it is great to have that input, as we all know that are in a proper relationship where, you know, you just disagree to agree, and yet you just work it through, and then we need to go always back to the origin of what we are, and that is we serve Jesus, and always have since we were 18, 19. And she's my father's daughter. She's my father's daughter also. She's my wife, but she's also my father's daughter. And she's precious in his sight. And I have to honor and prefer her. I have to always be aware of that he does not take it kindly when I abuse her in any size, shape, or form. And if you want a relationship with Jesus and you want to walk with the Lord that I have desired to for all my life, then it's him, then it's my wife and the children that goes down the line. So I have to make sure that I check myself on a regular basis. How am I treating her? How am I doing? And I ask her that, like, how are we doing? And I don't have to worry about her, because ladies are tender. They always know how to do that. They just kind of look after you, right? And she always, you know. And I still don't dress myself, by the way. The clothes are all out there. I couldn't dress myself if I tried. It's just all out there. Little things like that. I don't take that for granted. It's great. I'm domesticated to the nines here. No problem at all. So it's not boring. Get back to you. It's not all the same. Just say it's not boring. Not at all.
So would you say your passion, like, has increased since you were first married 44 years ago? Like, over time? Like, passion for each other?
How come I'm always answering first?
I'm just kidding. I just had to throw that in there.
Okay. So I got to word this because I...
Yes.
When you're young, like when we were young, that which is a long time ago, because we're both 62 years
yes.
old, so that's a long time to remember back what it was like when we were young, right? Your passion in your youth. I mean, he used to have a six pack too, believe it or not.
And lots of hair. It did.
Oh, no.
I know. We passionately fell in love. And so I think there's a type of a passion when you're young. It's different. And, you know, and the sexual thing is big because, I mean, you're all full of testosterone, and that's just the way it is. It's different 44 years later. But we still have passion, and we have a normal sex life. Like everybody else, I guess. You know,
we're keeping that on the tape forever.
I'd have never said that. No way.
The Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That was favor speaking.
Yeah. So, answer the question about the
you
passion.
Just did. That was fantastic. I
think the passion it gets changes, it evolves so much over time. But the passion for Sharon now is much stronger.
It's very good.
Than it was when I was 25 or 30, because it's a passion to push the relationship as far as it will go, even farther, and just see what the Lord has in it for us. God is so, you know, you're going down the road, and it's a funny thing after you've been married for a little while. You know, you guys, I know all of you experience this, and I'll say, just like you have one mind. Well, so I'll say, well, do you want to have a hamburger? I was just thinking that. You know, and you just, and all the time that happens, all the time. So the passion, the passion I have now is, I guess it's a love, is much stronger for my spouse now than it was.
Yeah.
Because it's, as you get older too, you're less consumed with yourself.
Yeah.
You just start to change, and you just, you know, you pass it on, you pass it over. And I'm not so stupid to know that I don't have a good thing going. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to make sure that I develop that as much as I can, I guess. But, yeah, the passion gets stronger. The passion gets stronger for just a living out part of the relationship, I think, every day.
So good.
Every day.
But what a testimony to this generation that there's more. There's more to what initially drives you towards marriage.
Yeah.
But there's more. There's goodness to be found. And, again, that's a testimony of the goodness of God, that God has good things in store for us, and I just think that's just fantastic wording and picture. Why don't we do one more question? Let's just see how this is going. Are we all okay?
Yeah.
We're all good? Excellent. So, were there any... Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. Go back. Yeah. Were there ever times when you felt nothing towards your spouse or ever resented or disliked them? So we're in the... You might have a very fun drive home.
The first part, it's impossible not to feel nothing. You know, you feel something, anger or whatever, but you feel something.
It's good.
You're not a neutral.
Emotion. Yeah. There's an emotion.
There is emotion. But, you know, I mean, you never felt nothing, but... resented? Oh yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I resent it that you know that I have to do, you know, it's what happens as you go down the road is that you're pedaling pretty hard in life, you know, as the breadwinner, you know, you don't get much time off. You're working hard, and sometimes you know in the early years with the form when the kids were into everything and you're going everything like that, you kind of resent that the family situation in time thing. But you love your family, so you don't do that. But, I mean, and there was times, I mean, in our lives when we know when we're changing all along, so things were happening, and we've had our little disagreements, and yeah, I resented some of the things that she said. Yeah, absolutely. But we work through them, always work through them. And I'm sure, and I mean, I haven't done everything right either. There's no doubt about that. So I'm sure that Sharon has resented some of the stuff that we've done, that I've said to her, and been through it, because you know, I think it's just part of the arrangement. But the thing behind that question is the commitment there, you know, always there? And yes, it's always there. So yes, there's been resentment, and have I disliked her? Yep, yeah, yep. I disliked her at times. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But that doesn't really last long, though. That long, because you know what the word says: you're not supposed to let the sun go down on your anger. And our relationship, our whole life has been based, I know it's, you know, but that's what it has been. It's been based around in the kingdom of God, around God. We're both godly people because we choose to be. And we choose we want to live our life as godly as possible. That's our responsibility to the Lord, and our marriage needs to be that way. So that's what we tried to do. So there has been times, but love covers a multitude of sins. And... it's, you know, and I guess what I love so much about Sharon is that when I get, you know, when I get sometimes headstrong or what I do and some of the stuff, because I'm a I used to be pretty aggressive, more aggressive, and I make mistakes and stuff and business things and stuff and whatever have you. But she's, you know, she's just there, right? She's disappointed in me, but not that disappointed in me. She always supports what I do, and then it's then she'd say to me, okay, well, what are we going to do now? You know, and anything, we need to work through this. So I don't think so, really, not that much, to be honest with you.
That's good.
I think that because right from the start, and this isn't super spiritualizing or anything like this, this is a reality for us, and this is a result. You see, we are a result of practicing this, like Daryl has already said. Jesus was the focus of our relationship.
That's very good.
Like, he really was, and we were very serious about that. We maybe we didn't, and that doesn't mean that we were big in church every Sunday. We didn't. Like, we went for a period of time where we really didn't even... we weren't even following in any church when we were even younger, but we never not had Jesus as the focus of our life. So because of that, and, you know, like being married that long, we grew up together too. Like, you grow together with your mate. You know, you start your life together, and now you become one little family, a united family, and you grow, and you learn and you grow together. And because the Lord was our focus, and there were things in both of us that needed changing, and yes, there were times when I maybe resented, and like he said, same thing. But you also realize that that's not going to get you anywhere. So it's better just to turn it over, talk about it, release it to the Lord, and move forward, right? And it's not so easy when you are keeping the Lord current in your life, and you know we're not supposed to have unforgiveness and resentment. Those aren't fruits of the Spirit. So it doesn't pay off to do that, you know.
Right? See, when you understand, it was even said prophetically to us that I, when I met Sharon, was not a Christian. Sharon came from a Christian home, but I was not a Christian. And we met in the summertime, and she just absolutely... fascinated me, because I'd never met anybody like her. She was different. She was the worst sinner you ever met. I mean, she just couldn't smoke. She couldn't do any of those things right. She didn't do any of that stuff. She just was, it was so funny. She just didn't do any of that stuff. And I was like, what's with this lady?
I mean, yeah, she I tried. I wanted to be like he was,
she
right?
She didn't do well at that stuff. So I had a drinking problem when I was younger. So but when I met her, I dried up and stopped doing that, because she wasn't doing it anymore. Didn't want to do that. So and I met her family, and long story short, and you know, we ended up getting married, and then I gave my heart to the Lord, because I had never been in church, and I didn't know, but through Sharon and her family, the influence of the family, the thing I always understood was, I said that to tell you that what I understand that was, it was not a mistake when our paths met in that little town, that little dusty town in the desert. There was no mistake. And Sharon, when she was 18, believe me, she could have had anybody she wanted. She is gorgeous. She was beautiful. Come when on. She came to town, all the guys were just, have you seen the new redhead in town? Who's going to be the first guy to date her? And they were just clamoring, right? So I thought, well, I think I'll just give it a try. And my mom, I got to thank my mom for this. She says, if you meet a new girl, these are the clothes. See, I can't dress myself. These are the clothes you wear, right? And they're this one, and you keep that for the first one you meet. So I got my clothes on, right? I got my right clothes on, and I met her. She was working over at Elsie's.
Then I realized later he didn't dress himself properly, right?
Yeah,
so there
that's
you go.
Right. She was working over at the Sportsman Hotel. But anyways, when you realize that we came together, and that we came together, that Father put it, God put us together, when you realize that, then there's no, that's a commitment. There's no turning back to that. So, so... that's what we knew in our life. And you too. You people, you kids too. God's got, you know, there is, if you wait on the Lord, you know, if you wait on the Lord, you know, you will see it. It will come. God has got somebody for you. It's what he does. He does that very well. He wants you to raise up a holy generation. Royal priesthood. Children, like our children. We've got 6 beautiful grandchildren now. 14 years old down to 1 year old. We've got this. So... and I was a teenage alcoholic. I was on my way to all kinds of bad things, and God arrested me and brought me into the life of this lady, and God and I owe her for that. But God brought her in, and she's given me the love and acceptance that I couldn't get when I'm in my juvenile delinquency and all the years that I had. And God's taken something that was going astray and wrong, and he made something beautiful out of it. And I'll tell you today, there's no way I can't take any glory for it, guys and gals. There's no chance. I would have blown it. I was blowing it. It's all about just understanding when Jesus come, and that's when Sharon came into my life. I knew that it was a good thing, and hold on to that and allow the Lord to do what he done. And so that, more and more, that was the thing. It was her and the Lord that helped me out. And I'm thankful for that today.
So good. Yeah. So good. So what a picture of self-giving love. Would you pray for us in this room right now? Would you just close in prayer?
Yeah. Stand up. Yes, that would be wonderful. I thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunity, Sam. It's just been, we were both a little bit, nervous about this. Is that Mrs. Emerson in the back? Oh, my goodness. She heard all that? Oh, the pastor's wife is here. It is, Chris. Oh, dear. Hallelujah.
Oh, that's good.
The other thing is that, you know, you guys, you young ladies and you young men, you are so precious in his sight.
That's good.
You're precious in his sight, and you are able to do that which you don't have the strength to do. You are able to wait. You are able to do the things that Pastor Sam has said to do. And Father, we trust you, Lord. You know, Father, you said you knew us before we were formed in the womb, and that is a mind blower, Lord. But you know, Father, we were born in a time for a place and a reason, Lord Jesus. And Father, we don't care if the culture runs crossways in any situation, because as Christians, Father, we're used to that. And I pray for the young women that are waiting for their spouses. And I pray for the young men that are waiting for their wives, Lord God. Father, Sharon and I are no different than anybody else, Father. Just that you put us together maybe a little earlier than some of them. But Father, there is somebody for somebody, everybody here tonight, Lord. And Father, we just hope that the young people here will be inspired by what they see in us. That two people coming together, Father, that are heading in different directions can be put together by the Lord, can be productive, and can serve in the world and in the kingdom of God, and do it well by your guidance and your tutelage, Lord. So, Father, we just pray for these young people, Lord Jesus. And pray, Father, we pray for faith, for them to believe, Father, to know that you have a plan for their life and for their family, Lord Jesus.
Lord God, I just pray that you would, each person sitting in a chair here, Father, Holy Spirit, you would just overshadow each person. And you would, in their spirits, they would recognize a new level of love for themselves even, Lord, that they are just who they are meant to be. You will be going about setting,
yes,
about
Lord,
making the changes. But Father, that they would just be comfortable with where they're at. And they won't be looking for love anywhere else, Father. That they will focus on you. And as they focus on you, Lord, they're not going to be worrying about things going on. They will just be walking their life. And before they know it, they will be doing what they even desire to do. But Lord, when we take our eyes off ourselves and we focus on you, things just happen so much faster. Lord, that they would all know that you do have a plan, a perfect plan for each one of them, and how much they are so valuable. They're so valuable.
Yes, Lord.
That these young ladies will,
yes,
recognize their value,
yes,
and
Lord,
not to give it,
yes,
away,
yes,
just because.
Yes,
Lord, they will keep, yes, themselves, Jesus, before you for their mates, Lord. And the couples that are here, Father, that there will be a new level of love in their relationship, even that you will unite them together stronger than ever before. Let them honor and prefer one another.
Yes, Lord.
Let them learn to do,
yes,
that,
Lord,
early in their relationship. And Lord, that they will just continue to grow in you, that they would grow in you.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, I'm excited, Lord. These guys, they're awesome. They yes, are Lord. So yes, awesome. Lord, would you show them yes. how awesome they are?
Yes,
that they
Lord.
Really would get that? Yeah. That we're not just saying it. They really are awesome. What yes, a Lord. Good group of people there
yes,
are here.
Yes,
they
yes,
would Lord. Recognize their value. And because of that, they would cherish it. And they would keep it. And they would honor you with that, Lord God.
Father, this week, Lord, that... You would just, Father, Holy Spirit, would you just please speak to each and every one of them this week? Give them a little bit of an assurance that in you we live and we move and we have our being. And the footsteps of these righteous people here tonight, these men and women here tonight, Father, are ordered of you, Lord. All souls are you, Father, belong to you. You own us all. You have a plan for us all. Lord, and we just pray today, this week, Lord, that you would just make it really apparent to these people tonight, Lord Jesus, that your life is in their hands and you will not disappoint, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, wow, on behalf of all of us, we love and honor you, and we're so excited that you guys could come and share a bit of your lives. We want to stand your feet, and we'll just thank them. There you have it, where we all want to be. We just thank you very much. That was wonderful. So we're going to do youth church, same time, same place next week. We've got a whole bunch more stuff. We've got snack over at the side. If you're new, make sure you get to know somebody here. I'm sure Daryl and Sharon will stay up here afterwards for a little questions. If you have any questions, my wife and I will be up here as well. And there's lots of people to talk to tonight. So anyways, you guys are awesome. We'll see you next week.
For more information, visit clovedalechurch.ca.